This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Cody Besant. Cody is with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. We'll talk Farm Bill. We'll talk about the Emergency Relief Program, ERP, and we'll get a recap of the latest as far as harvest and ginning progress, and that in a moment. Grace Hu is Illinois Deputy Governor for Health and Human Services, talks about the benefits of the WIC program.
Families who participate in WIC have longer and safer pregnancies, with fewer premature births and infant deaths, improved dietary and academic outcomes for our littlest ones, and moms are healthier. And two, WIC participants show significant savings in healthcare costs, decreasing the rate of low birth weight babies and earlier detection of prenatal health risks.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Cody Besant. Cody is CEO, Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. Cody, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be back with you.
Well, at this point, maybe not 100% finished with the cotton harvest across the U.S., but especially on the southern high plains, pretty close to 100%, would you agree?
Yeah, we're getting pretty close. We're probably 95 to 98% off the stock. There's a couple of folks that still have to wrap up. Those that were kind of waiting on just Mother Nature to relatively kind of play out the last couple of weeks with rainfall and finishing up harvest. Gins are still running for the most part. They're trying to finish up, but overall, most are really wrapping up and should be done probably by end of the week, if not prior to Christmas for sure. It's been a short year. We're sad in the fact that it's been a short year, short crop year. Certainly empathetic to what has transpired over this season in regard to production overall, and what that means for our cotton producers as a whole across the area, but also infrastructure too. And we're trying to figure out ways where we can help mitigate that. Certainly we have good policy-based tools in place for producers overall in the producer-based segment, be it insurance models that certainly help mitigate some of this risk and some of the ad hoc assistance that has played out this last year or two. But infrastructure is really, really taking a toll again, and we're very concerned about that and certainly working on ways that we can help mitigate some of that risk that they're taking on long-term in the near future. So
I'm glad you brought up the infrastructure side of this because, again, anybody who's had the opportunity to travel through the Delta in the last 10 or 15 years can see where there once was infrastructure for cotton. And we're not just talking about the harvesting side of it. We're talking about gins that have closed. And once a gin closes, the opportunity to reopen that is pretty limited. Is that a safe assessment?
Well, it's a very fair assessment. Cotton is kind of unique in the fact that it's a one-trick shot. In the fact that if you have a good crop year, then you can kind of make ends meet for a couple of years. But if you have several repeating years, like we're structuring up to see where it's been less than desirable, then it has a very big toll on infrastructure because they rely solely on volume. And when they have less than desirable volume or no volume at all in some cases, then that does have a big toll on infrastructure in a negative way where you will see gyms specifically closing down or maybe pivoting and having some different mergers just to try to keep everything intact. And so we're mindful of that. We're watching that. Certainly, we don't want to lose infrastructure. Case in point, whenever we have a good crop year, and I hope we're stepping into a new good crop year in 2024, we want to have enough infrastructure capacity to be able to withstand that and process that product in a timely manner as compared to our small grains brethren, and certainly not taking away from them. They are certainly a key component in this area and a key component in a cropping system, but they have the ability to withstand different tides between different commodities because they have multiple commodities to pull from versus cotton is not. It's, again, as I said, it's just a one-trick shot. So.
Okay. So we've talked about kind of the infrastructure here, and there's really no safety net for those in that chain, if you will. There has been a safety net, however, for producers, and part of that through crop insurance. But we've also had to rely on ad hoc disaster over the last handful of years as well. The newest one, the 2022 ERP. Can you talk a little about that?
Sure. So you're absolutely right. There's only a small amount of tools that are at the brevity of infrastructure to take advantage of to kind of weather the storm. And sometimes they're unattainable as they are today. And that's one thing that we're trying to work on to remedy, hopefully in future farm policy. But there are some tools in place that producers have the ability to take advantage of. One is crop insurance that helps alleviate some of the challenges that they see on a intra-year focus from Mother Nature. But ERP is a disaster-based program that we have worked on as an industry between Plains Cotton and National Cotton and Southwest Council and other commodity groups as a whole to build up to this point to help remedy some of the losses that we've seen outside of crop insurance that they just, you know, really couldn't quite alleviate. Unfortunately, the current program that's being implemented, more to touch on ERP for 2022, while we welcome ad hoc assistance to help producers, the way the administration, the way USDA has administered this program is really at a duress to the actual industry that needs it. Producers today, while they may be receiving some form of disaster-related assistance, there's a lot of inequities that are developed within this program outside of Congress's intention, outside of the industry's intention. And what I mean by that is so they've kind of really developed a backdoor mechanism to implement a payment limit structure that is inadequate to the vast majority of individuals that actually produce a crop on a regular base scale. And in addition to, they've implemented more dire prescriptions, I guess, if you will, on how you qualify for the return of your premium and fees from an insurance-based standpoint as compared to the previous base program. And they have deviated. Congress actually has told them they have deviated, USDA being that, from how that program should be implemented. And that's where industry is really focused on right now, is how do we rectify and correct these issues from USDA, really kind of getting over their skis and going over the accord of implementing a program that really they should have implemented in the same way they did the first phase and did in this phase. And I know there's a lot of nuances that USDA has spouted, saying, well, Congress only gave me so much money, therefore we had to make some calculations to retool this. I would attest that's bogus. And the fact that the way that process works is Congress actually asked USDA, hey, we're trying to develop a program for disaster-related assistance. How much money should we appropriate, or do we need to appropriate based on amicable losses and things like that? Congress gave them a number, and then USDA really just went rogue with this program, very specifically for ERP for 2022. And that's unfortunate. And there's a lot of reaction to what's going on. A lot of people trying to rectify the situation to make it right and really rein in USDA for what they have done in this current situation.
Speaking of current situation, I don't think there's anybody who's even if you don't watch what's happening in Congress right now, that doesn't know our physical house for the nation is in trouble, overloaded with debt at this point, and we're borrowing money to pay the interest on borrowed money. So with that as the if you would set the table that way, as we start serving up the mill of farm bill, how's that going to be consumed by those who pull up to the table, i.e. members of Congress?
Well, I think there's a lot of challenges that proposes with the farm bill process, but there's been a lot of money, as most are aware of, that has been allocated throughout the last couple of years for specific programs through the Build Back Better Act, the BBA, through the Inflation Reduction Act, IRA, things like that, that has went unspent because people have not actually applied for, or maybe they've applied for, and that money has not been allocated. And so there's a way to reallocate those funds to interject enough cost savings from a budgetary standpoint into a new farm bill. Now, some of that will come at a challenge with some of the politics at play. Certainly the prevailing side will say, hey, we need to leave that money alone. We don't need to touch it. But I would attest overall that the main goal is to develop a very robust farm bill, one that is certainly more meaningful than where we're at to date, one that actually has some improvements to it that we're working on, and it takes money to do that. And so why not move some money that's unallocated, unexpended, and utilize those funds to be able to do that versus just kind of let them sit on the sidelines and hang out there and not put them to work, essentially.
And from nearly every member I've talked to up to this point, it's got to be a bipartisan bill. So you already have a group of Republicans who've come out and said, we're not voting for a farm bill, period. So it's got to be bipartisan. That might actually increase the odds of getting it across the line in 24. Would you agree?
I would agree with that. But keep in mind, there are always these groups, be it Republican or Democrat, that come out and say, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that. And that's kind of the wheels of government in general, trying to kind of leverage or stymie a position where they can achieve some goals. So my advice is to folks is don't get boggled down with how some of the nuances are being portrayed in the public eye. It's more so what's going on behind the scenes and being a true advocate and vacating the media type perspective and more so focusing on the policy itself and what it can do for the actual grower or industry that we're advocating for and serving as a voice. So those that certainly are listening, I would encourage them to be strong advocates of saying we need XYZ policy, be it, you know, maybe an increase in reference price, which is certainly one thing that the vast majority of industry is advocating for, or other tools to help the industry. Don't get too boggled down on some of the nuances you see in the public eye. Focus more so on the member, more so on the policy at play, and just understand that there is politics at play. Don't get me wrong. But there is a pathway forward, and not to get too bogged down in some of the politics in general.
Cody Besson is CEO of Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Cody Besson, Plains Cotton Growers.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Countdown 24 is marching onward to Orlando, January 31st to February 2nd, 2024. Have your say in the future of the industry, network with fellow producers, or connect with friendly faces. Plus, the NCBA trade show will be on site with over 385,000 square feet of the latest and greatest in the cattle business to help your operation stay competitive and sustainable. Register today and learn more at convention.ncba.org.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is the Agribusiness Report.
It's a family business, farming for the most part.
Small family farms made up 88% of the farm count and operated 46% of the farmland, but generated only 19% of the total value of production.
USDA economic researcher Catherine Lacey presenting findings from the latest edition of America's Farm and Ranches at a Glance report. Other information gleaned from the report for the 2022 calendar year includes
the share of farms with a low-risk operating profit margin varied by farm size in 2022. About 26% of all U.S. farms held any debt in 2022, and the majority, which was 67% of farms with debt, used only one lender.
Farm households in general were not considered low income or low wealth. Also,
among socially disadvantaged farm operations, non-Hispanic black farms in particular differ most compared to non-Hispanic white farms in terms of size, specialization, and financial outcome.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.